Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. It's always important for us to continue our conversation in the world of technology and in the realm of digital adoption. We've talked at length about how companies and governments are trying to adopt digital adoption even better. But of course, cybersecurity threats are going to be dominating this conversation even further. Joining us in the studio is Amarjit Sandhu, the Corporate Vice President of Assembly and Test NAND Operations at Micron Technologies Singapore and Malaysia. Amarjit, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. It's a long hike from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur and even longer hike from Kuala Lumpur all the way to Bukit Jalil. Again, thanks for taking the time to come over here. Let's do a quick review of where things stand when it comes to the world of semiconductor, when it comes to cybersecurity and digital adoption, many others. Where do you see the lay of the land looks like when it comes to this space?
Thank you, Brian, for having me on this show. I appreciate that. Before I kind of go on, maybe let me give a little bit of introduction about Micron. Micron is a US-based company. It's founded in Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. It has presence in 17 different countries. We have 45,000 employees worldwide. Mm-hmm. And we're ranked 135 in the Fortune 500. Mm-hmm. And we are a very technology-based company. We have garnered 50,000 patents over our history of 44 years. Technology is the area that we compete in, particularly in semiconductors, memory and storage space. This is where you digitize something, you need to save it in memory, in your memory or into your hard disk. Today, everything is digitized, mm-hmm. and that's the space that we compete in. Mm-hmm. Bringing down a little bit about Micron Malaysia, mm-hmm. where are we? Mm-hmm. We have presence in Muar as well as in Penang. Mm-hmm. In Muar, we have a facility that assemble and test IC chips. We have 1,000 employees. Over in Penang, we have two facilities. We've only started work in Penang through a greenfield 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, we have close to 3,800 employees in Penang. Mm-hmm. It's a massive, massive acceleration growth in Penang itself. Mm-hmm. And over there, we assemble and test IC chips in terms of memory and storage. And we also build and manufacture and test SSD as well as module. So we're very proud of working with the government of Malaysia to be where we are today.
I want to tie into the whole operations of how Singapore and Malaysia interplay between each other. Hardware development, blue-collar hiring, everything seems to be dominated here in Malaysia, perhaps because of the low-cost structure. Well, what's happening in Singapore when it comes to Micron?
Indeed, that's not the case. Where Micron Malaysia today focuses on assembly and test. And assembly and test is not only for Micron, other semiconductor companies. Semiconductor companies also have presence here. Mm. So there is talent. Mm. There's a good ecosystem that is built in Malaysia itself, particularly in this case, Penang. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason we've kind of grown our capability here. In terms of technology, in terms of capability, in terms of talent, there's no less in terms of what we expect from Singapore as well as Malaysia. So I think we're working towards complementing each other. We have wafer fabs in Singapore. The output of the wafer fabs comes to our factories in Malaysia, both in Muar as well as Penang. And we basically produce the end products that we ship to our customers worldwide. Mm. So it's a complementary relationship. And technology is on both sides of the border.
All right, tying back to my earlier question to you, the lay of the land when it comes to the technological requirements and demand and digital adoption, where are we on that?
You've covered digitization in your past. And the rate of digitization is just accelerating. And you're very well aware, digitization is happening everywhere from cloud to networking, to industrial, to automotive, to mobile. Every sector, even aerospace, security, many different sectors have gone towards digitization. And as you digitize more and more, they're more and more reliant on memory and storage. You need to keep your data somewhere, and that's where we come into play. Now, with respect to what do we offer in this digital world, With our technology, as I mentioned earlier, we are a technology leader. We are very proud to be ahead of our competition in terms of technology, and we enable future transformational innovation and quality products of the future.
Mm-hmm. There's also that whole element of the industry, the semicon industry, facing tremendous pressures when it comes to the supply chain. There's also an issue when it comes to investors trying to put or plonk in money here. Everybody knows that the semicon industry is going to have to grow, not because of anything else, but because of requirements that is needed by the global demand. But at the same time, it is seen as one of the more volatile investment portfolios there is to invest in. I was just coming back from an investor relations conversation on the semicon investment possibility or I guess outlook. It's very volatile, but if you stretch across the timeline, let's say 3 decades, okay, you can see the trend moving upwards, but it isn't something that investors want to go when it comes to managing their beta risk of investment portfolio. How do you try to navigate that whole problems of trying to get investor confidence, navigating global supply chain constraints, and perhaps ever-changing global demands like Russia-Ukraine war or inflation or inflationary pressures? It's a big problem, not a big problem, it's a big world to navigate. How do you move about in this landscape?
So if I summarize what you're asking for, there are two areas that challenge, in fact, not only semiconductor, industries,
right?
It's geopolitical risk as well as ecosystem risk, supply chain risk. Going back to Micron, we have presence in 17 different countries. We have 11 different manufacturing sites or geographies. How Micron has navigated through the COVID era with lots of shutdowns here and there, we've actually mitigated by establishing a network of manufacturing sites. Today, we have basically some level of redundancies that we have built over the years. And Malaysia is very much part of the overall powerhouse of manufacturing network that we have. We have presence in the Far East, from Singapore, Taiwan, Japan, Malaysia, as well as in US. So we are all over. If there's an issue in one particular geography, we're able to move our manufacturing to different locations. Over the last 2-3 years, undergoing the pandemic, COVID pandemic, we have been able to mitigate it very, I would say, successfully. Very little risk to our customers. Not only did we have our own manufacturing base to take care of, we also had to pay a lot of attention to our supply base. We had suppliers who were in Malaysia, who were in Singapore, in China, and different regions. So never did we pay so much attention to our overall ecosystem that's supporting our overall manufacturing. And today, I think we're in a much, much better place, understanding, building redundant capabilities all over to make sure that we are able to move our manufacturing from one location to the other location seamlessly.
Yeah, so, but I cannot imagine it being easier, I suppose.
Oh, it's...
Certainly,
I agree with you. It was not easy. You know, for example, the Xi'an shutdown in December during a holiday period, all our executives had to come back from holidays and work to mitigate the risk that we faced at that point in time. And,
but
Shanghai...
But it does drive cost up, no? I mean, speaking as an outsider?
Actually, we have been able to manage the overall cost. To our customers, it's transparent how we've been able to mitigate the different challenges and... touch wood, we've done a good job so far by having the network of manufacturing sites. So even that also goes back to your earlier point with respect to geopolitical risk. We're able to move our manufacturing capabilities from one location to another to mitigate the different geopolitical challenges that we have had in recent years.
Okay. I guess none much so than in Malaysia, I suppose, because of the
Malaysia is actually a very important part of the overall network, and it's an opportune time.
But it's a political risk that is rising, right? No?
Our manufacturing, what we have established 4 years ago in Penang, has grown from strength to strength.
Okay.
We had one building that we started, a temporary building that we leased.
Yeah.
We built a first building, yeah. Greenfield building. Now we are onto our second building. If you look at it overall, our growth in Penang is phenomenal.
Yes, and you're doubling down there as well.
Yes.
Okay, but we have to go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Micron Technology Singapore and Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio Amarjit Sandhu, the Corporate Vice President of Micron Technology Singapore and Malaysia. Let's talk a bit more about Penang. You are one of the many companies that is investing hundreds of millions, if not billions of ringgit there. Not just in Penang, but perhaps the Kulim High-Tech Park as well. One thing that is, I find it interesting for companies like yourselves need to navigate, is the hiring of folks, especially those that are, I don't know how best to put this, highly technical and highly skilled blue-collar workers. Is that a fair, accurate kind of thing to say?
Actually,
please correct my perception here.
I think, to your point, I think talent is a challenge. With a lot of investments coming to Penang, talent, whether it's operators, technicians, engineers, or even management staff, is a challenge. And certainly, all companies are faced with that challenge. I think, what are we doing about it? So far, like I said earlier, we've been able to grow our organization quite handsomely. Today, not only do we have scale, not only do we have capability to manufacture volume, we've also established R&D capabilities and also shared services in Penang.
Mm.
Our overall workforce is close to 3,800, which is very significant, hiring over a period of four years.
Yeah. So that's about 1,000 every year.
Yes. So, and we are planning.
What about attrition rate then?
Yeah. So before I go there, we are also planning to hire more moving forward. So this is how aggressive we are.
What's the target like?
We're planning to add on about 2,000 more headcounts in the coming years. So that's how aggressive we plan to grow.
Yeah, but attrition rate.
So that how do we manage talent? To your point, there are two parts to this. One is basically ensuring that our current pool of headcount is satisfied. And of course, how do we ensure there's a supply chain of talent for the future? Coming back to your question, We basically work towards ensuring that our current pool of employees are satisfied. We have many different programs that we work towards them to upskill them.
Mm.
We also work towards ensuring that we have a competitive compensation and benefit scheme.
Mm.
We also, through COVID, we also make sure that safety for them is important. In fact, we were one of the first companies in northern part of Malaysia to get our employees vaccinated through the PICAS program.
Okay.
Right? So we also have interest groups, whether it's women, whether it's youth, whether we also hire actually capables, what we call capables are people with physical challenge.
Okay.
Could be hearing impaired.
Okay.
We've hired over 100 hearing impaired individuals to help us.
Can they work safely under
yes.
a safe work environment?
Yes. So we make sure we have a group to cater for the needs of this special group. So we make sure that we have a group that is satisfied in where we are. At the same time, we are also trying to ensure how do we get a supply coming forward in the years to come. We, of course, we engage with the technical institutes, we engage with the polytechnics, and also with the universities. Universities, we recently, I think was in the news, we signed a 1 million MOU with 5 universities to work on R&D. And we want to see how we can bring in the brightest talent of the future into Micron.
Okay.
We're also trying to see how we can hire tertiary education, higher education graduates, whether they're masters or PhD, and provide them further training, because when they're out from school, they're not industry ready.
That's right.
So we want to basically provide more training by bringing them to different centers of excellence, be it in Singapore, in Taiwan, or in US, and we like to offer that training and build our talent of the future. So with that, we are able to kind of ensure over time we have a good supply of talent to meet our needs of the future.
Okay, fantastic. We'll go for one more short break before I continue on our conversation with Amarjit Sandhu of Micron Technology. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Amarjit Sandhu of Micron Technology. Let's talk a little bit more about the trends moving forward. Doesn't look too good when it comes to the global situation of inflationary pressures, geopolitical concerns, and say political risk, not just around the world, but perhaps even in this part of town, I suppose. So where do you see the landscape is going to shape up and look like in the months and perhaps 1 or 2 years to come?
Actually, it's an interesting question you ask. Certainly, to your point, there are some short-term headwinds with respect
short-term, to... Short-term, that's how you call it.
Yeah. But if you look at it...
You don't look at it as a long-term, yeah. A short-term that is transitioning to a long-term cold winter.
Overall, I think we're very bullish of the future. I think the question to ask is, do we see digitization ending?
Okay, right? Very good. The answers are for sure no. Yeah. In fact, it's the other way. It's the other way around.
Exactly. So, in fact, based on our forecast, we expect a 7.1% compound annual growth rate in the next 3 years, right? And that's very promising.
Sorry, of what?
Semiconductor revenues.
Oh, okay.
In the next 3 years. Another fact is, if you look at memory...
Just yourself or the industry?
That's for industry. But coming back to Micron, where we participate in memory and storage.
Yeah.
Memory and storage revenue was $161 billion in 2021. Uh-huh. It's expected to be $330 billion in 2030. Uh-huh. That's more than double in 7 years.
Yeah.
What it means is the growth for the future is phenomenal, and we're very excited about the future.
Of course.
So what you said earlier was some challenges for near term, but growth. Where is this growth coming from? I think the growth comes from many different sectors. And you look at artificial intelligence, you look at 5G, you look at high-powered computing, security. Everywhere today we go, security, cybersecurity is a big feature. Mm. You talk about cloud, the data centers of the world, networking, industries is moving towards IoT, Industry 4.0. You talk about consumer. You and I are more engaged in shared economy today. Mm-hmm. Airbnb, Grab, and everything else. Mm-hmm. So every aspect of our lives is going more and more towards digital.
And these are just some of the items that you can mention today in 2022. God knows what's going to, you know, what kind of services is needed 3 years from now, or even next year. We never know.
Actually, another point to note, artificial intelligence and 5G is still at a very nascent stage.
Yeah.
Right? And there are studies that showed artificial intelligence as well as 5G, these two components are going to account for $11.4 trillion by 2035. What is $11.4 trillion by 2035? It's equivalent to Japan, Germany, and France economy put together in today's terms. That's the amount of potential that 5G and artificial intelligence is going to provide.
So the 11 trillion is the investment going into this space, or
the revenues that
potential generated
revenues
from this?
Yes,
from over the next say 3 years.
13 years.
13 years.
2035.
Globally.
Yes, globally. So 5G, as you know, worldwide is not fully adopted yet.
No, not even
countries.
This country yet.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is a lot of potential, and I think there's a lot of applications that are going to be add-on.
Where are the talent going to come from? I mean, I don't know. You're already facing challenges of hiring folks for today's requirements. God knows what's needed, like say, 10 years from now, right? I mean, your kids, my kids, I mean, you name it. Where do you see this? Do you think this is the biggest risk?
I think talent is an area that we will have to continue to work towards, right? It's going to be a bottleneck if not addressed in today's terms. And we're working, like I said earlier, to ensure that our current employees are happy, future pipeline of talent is there. And we're also working with the necessary agencies, I think with the government of the day, to make sure that, they're fully... they fully comprehend the challenges and work with us to enable this capability.
Because of these, I guess, the long-term prospects is extremely bright. You have to navigate against the short-term headwinds.
Yes.
Do you feel that, a folk like yourself, Micron Technology, have the ability to navigate these kind of challenges?
I think we're very bullish.
What would be the biggest risk? Is it inflationary pressures? Is it risk? Is it geopolitical concerns? What would be the one or two things that you really need to keep your eye on?
I think if you look at the history of semiconductors, it's been volatile
the whole time.
And over time.
But trending upwards again the whole time. So
we've been able to navigate it. And I think whatever come may, we have mitigation strategies in place to overcome the challenges. So we are very bullish overall.
So more money coming into Micron to build?
Of course, we are investing and we're excited about the opportunities in Malaysia. Our second building will be coming on the turn of early next year,
yeah.
Right? And we're bringing more capabilities, more investments as we grow. So
fantastic.
It's really bright and...
What about the MUA concern? Is it?
MUA is a facility that was been with us for about 12 years now through an acquisition. Mm. And over the last 4 years, MUA has started adding in more complex products, high-end products, and it also serves the mobile industry, also serves the automotive industry, and I dare say, you know, the packages that they're building today, the assembly components that they're building today is probably one of the most complex products in the whole of Malaysia.
Fantastic. Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, you know, it's very optimistic long-term view, but I guess the concerns of short-term headwinds are quite discerning and concerning as well to navigate against, don't you think?
I hear you. I think this is where Micron management, I think, very well aware of the challenges. And I think we are investing for the future. Mm. We are investing in R&D, technology, capability, and building talent. Mm. I think we need to look beyond the short-term headwinds. Mm. And we're bullish, like we always say in Micron, the best is yet to come.
Fantastic. The best is yet to come from Micron Technologies. That's our conversation with Amarjit Sandhu, the Corporate Vice President of Assembly and Test NAND Operations at Micron Technology, Malaysia and Singapore. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad, or in this case, look for Micron. Also, do stay tuned to our sister shows called Niaga Awani as well as The Week Ahead. Again, just head on to astroawani.com. All our properties are there. Just look for Niaga Awani and Week Ahead also on Notepad. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.